Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. We see them as dried leaves, seeds, bark, and roots, and they may be whole, chopped, minced, or ground into powder, many as colorful as they are fragrant. They're spices, and they add zest, complexity, and depth to the foods we eat, either cooked or raw. Yet, they're not just simply good tasting.
According to our next guest, they're health heroes and offer huge benefits to wellness and nutrition that are now only beginning to be recognized in the Western world. Natasha McCollar is a chef and the author of Spice Health Heroes, Unlock the Power of Spice for Flavor and Well-Being. It's a cookbook that includes a detailed study of the history and traditional use of spices, along with their culinary, nutritional, and medical applications. And its recipes come from 20 renowned chefs, including longtime PBS celebrity chef Lydia Bastianich. Welcome to Take Care. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Lorraine. It's a pleasure to be here.
Some say herbs, some say spices, but what is the difference between herbs and spices?
Well, in researching this book, the jury is still out, as it were. Primarily, spices we think of as hard, dried balls, such as peppercorn or allspice. But spices are arils, such as pomegranate, rhizomes such as turmeric and ginger, seeds, berries, bark, flowers even. And the biggest bone of contention is, for instance, basil, which I have as a spice. When it's fresh, it's considered a herb or an herb. And when it's dried, it's considered a spice. So I base my book and the Spice Heroes on that premise.
So when you are talking about spices, most of us encounter spices when we first start cooking with them in a jar. And we will talk about fresh and the differences between them. But in terms of storing spices, let's talk about the jarred spices. Because I, as a kid, saw my mother store them in a rack above the stove. And I learned much later on that that's probably the worst thing you could do with spices.
It is, absolutely. It's a great look. And those spices can be used for display, but the heat of the stove actually taints and ages the spices at a very rapid rate. The key is to buy your spices, if you can, buy them whole and grind them yourself, and they'll last years. A spice that's ground, such as cardamom or clove, for instance, they have these active oils, active compounds. So if you're going to get them ground, just get the smallest amount, and it will last approximately 6 months. And store them in a cupboard, a dark cupboard room temperature, and they will last far longer than over the stove, even though they look great over the stove.
You have a beautiful new book. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And you do have different chapters covering different areas, both for cooking and where spices fall in terms of their benefit to health. And we'd like to talk to you about the chapter of Immune Spice Health Heroes. You list five of them, and we're going to get to each one. We want to hear about them. But before we do, why don't you just give us a quick overview of the history and healing properties of spices as in general as you were doing your research for the book?
Spices have been used not only for flavor, but considered as medicine in traditional medicine for thousands and thousands of years. Long before we had medicines in a bottle, we had spices, and people tested them and used them for medical reasons, for health, for staving off a cold, for decreasing the swelling of a sprained ankle, for instance. That would be turmeric. And a lot of the spices as well have these active compounds. All of the spices I talk about, they're active compounds, which are the concentrated form of a chemical that's naturally derived. And a lot of these spices are now used in modern-day medicines. For instance, one of the compounds in turmeric is derived and made, added to Tylenol to help for the pain relief. So it's absolutely fascinating. The more I read about this, the more I researched, I just thought, my goodness, this is just amazing, and they taste delicious.
Yes, let's stick with turmeric because that is the first of your five spice heroes. What are some of the other healing properties that you discovered about turmeric. And then we'll have to just talk about how we incorporate this into our diet.
Turmeric, I call the master spice. It is probably the oldest spice and the most heavily researched spice there is. Studies have been going on in India, medical, clinical, and animal studies have been going on for years and years and years about turmeric. And it's a rhizome, so it's a root. You can use it fresh. It's available quite a bit more nowadays as fresh. It can also be used as a powder, and it can be used grated. The dried root you can grate quite easily. The fresh is a little more challenging. And it was used as a culinary spice, a sacred spice, and it was used for anti-inflammatory properties, which is used today. You see bottles of turmeric and the active compound curcumin. It's nothing to do with cumin, curcumin, and it's also absolutely beautiful with, I've got it in tisanes, which is basically a tea that doesn't have actual tea leaves in it. It's a whole melange of different dried spices that are slowly brought to a simmer and left to sit, and absolutely delicious. Also, that one of the most fascinating things going on with turmeric nowadays is it is being trialed by Olympic-level athletes to use as an anti-inflammatory, as pain relief, and because it's a food, there's no drug testing issue. Absolutely fascinating what's going on with turmeric these days.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And our guest today is Natasha McAller. She's a chef and the author of Spice Health Heroes, Unlock the Power of Spice for Flavor and Well-Being. Let's move on to another spice that you talk about, Natasha, and that would be cumin.
I call it the global spice. And the reason I do is that historians have been arguing about where it originated, because it grows virtually everywhere. It's not only drought tolerant, it's flood tolerant. And it's, of course, got that sublime smell and flavor. I love it in just about everything. And what's been discovered about cumin is that it's been used an antibacterial for food poisoning, for instance. If your tummy's a little dodgy, you have a little cumin. It reduces stress and lowers blood sugar. And also that it mimics HRT, the hormone replacement therapy. So it's a natural phytoestrogen. So it's helpful for those issues. And it has anti-osteoporotic effects, so it helps for osteoporosis. It helps slow down or maintain the level if you unfortunately have osteoporosis.
Now, in your book, you go out of your way to back up some of the claims that you were just stating with input from doctors. You have quotes from doctors so that you're citing actual studies that were done that bear out some of the things that you had just mentioned.
Yes, it's just so generous of them. I have 8 medical doctors from all around the world who have contributed a vetted quote for each of the spices so that it's not pie in the sky. It's been researched. I also have little footnotes that are published medical journals that I've read through and been advised by this amazing team of doctors. Several of them are involved in something which is a new discipline called culinary medicine. There are chefs and there are doctors that are working together to help people balance their diets and use the nutrients in food, use the nutrients in spices to make for better health and a better balanced life, reduce stress. So all of these things together, along with if you have to take medicines, pharmaceutical medicines, these can work in tandem. So it's incredible. It's the huge point of difference in this book that I've got doctors working with me and 21 contributing chefs.
There are 2 other spices that you talk about that I thought of because around the holiday season they seem to be very popular. That would be clove and allspice.
Believe it or not, clove and allspice actually originated hundreds of thousands of miles apart in opposite parts of the world. They have nothing in common except they both share the active compound called eugenol. And eugenol is an antiseptic. It's a great pain relief. There used to be, I don't know if it's still around in regular pharmacies, but drugstores, but in health food stores, clove oil. It's incredibly powerful, but it was used as an anti-numbing for dental work up until 20 years ago or so, and it still helps with numbing the gums. You can also have it also helps. It's great digestive, as is allspice, and of course the flavor is absolutely captivating. It fills the kitchen with the most beautiful comfort food scent.
What about citrus zest? That also has a very nice scent. Sometimes it's actually used in potpourri, or you can actually boil peels of orange on the stove and fill your kitchen with a very nice scent. But what is the medicinal value of citrus zest?
The medicinal value, we all know it contains vitamin C, but it also has intense flavonoids. There's actually more flavonoids in the zest or the peel than there is in the fruit. And it's being studied to help, believe it or not, aching feet. If you have sore feet, you rub citrus zest on your citrus oil, and it helps relieve aching, tired feet. And it also is being studied for cancer, particularly skin cancer. There's a study going on in America about the combination of citrus zest and tea together, which is in one of the quotes that Dr. John LaPuma has contributed.
Natasha, I know we have to get to star anise, or star anise, as some people pronounce it. But before we do that, one of the challenges that I find, now we're talking about using them as compounds actually on the skin, but many of these things you really need to ingest, but they're so strong. And I wonder how much citrus zest would I have to consume in order to get the benefit from it? I've had recipes that call for a zest of lemon. I mean, it is so strongly flavored. You would never even use more than a teaspoon in a recipe that would serve 8 people. So I'm wondering, how would I get enough citrus zest into my body without having to just hold my nose and swallow a teaspoon?
It is rather powerful. With the tea, for instance, it was basically black tea, and it's infused with citrus peel. The oil and the flavonoids in citrus peel are very, very powerful, so you don't need very much. You want the tea still to taste like tea, so it's not a poultice of citrus. And again, even with turmeric, for instance, they say half a teaspoon maximum a day is more than enough, and that's a curry, for instance. You put in a tablespoon to serve four, six people in a curry recipe. And you only need a quarter to a half a teaspoon to get the effects.
We only have a minute left, but I don't want to leave star anise.
No.
Because that's on your list. So could you just quickly tell us what's so fabulous about star anise in terms of our immune system?
Oh, star anise, the sultry fighter spice, I call it. It's the most beautiful spice looking. And it is, believe it or not, it's an antibacterial. It's an antiseptic. It also helps combat insomnia and pain relief. And the active compound in star anise is cooked down. It's been cooked down, and it is used for Tamiflu, which is the flu injection. Isn't that extraordinary that we have this beautiful spice native to southern China and Vietnam? And I hear that in China, when there's a flu outbreak, all of the shops that sell the dried spices, the star anise mysteriously disappears because everybody's making their own poultices and teas at home with star anise.
The book is called Spice Health Heroes, and our guest today, Natasha McCollar, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom about the health benefits of spices.
Oh, and thank you. It was my absolute pleasure.